Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the InsideSecure's half year results conference call. I now hand over to Mr. Richard Vacher de Tournière, Group General Manager and Chief Financial Officer. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us this morning for our earnings call for the first half of the year. The presentation we are going to use today for this call is available on our investor relation website, and I hope you had the opportunity to download it. And also, therefore, I assume you have read the disclaimer statement, or at least you know about it, so I won't elaborate. Second comment in introduction, during the call, we'll discuss IFRS and non-IFRS financial measures. As usual, a reconciliation between the two kind of financial measures can be found at the end of the presentation and also at the end of our press release. Finally, and before we get started, since we announced something particular in our earnings figures this second quarter, following the announcement we made on May 19th of the sale of the semiconductor business to WISeKey, and in accordance with IFRS, the revenue from this discontinued business is no longer recognized in InsideSecure consolidated revenue. Therefore, the figures you will see as part of the continuing activity is mainly comprised of the mobile security, which is a software core business, the patent licensing program revenue. And this is mainly what we discussed this morning. Okay? That being said, I will now hand over to Amedeo, who will give us the key highlights for the first half of this year before we deep dive into the figures. Amedeo?
Hello to everyone. I'm happy to present the first half yearly result because, you know, after myself joining seven months ago, we started to plan for a deep transformation of the company. In February, as some of you may remember, we announced the plans that was, as Richard just mentioned, the sale of the semiconductor business to concentrate ourselves in embedded software security in the space of mobile and IoT, and the plans are very well advanced. What we announced in February is underway on schedule, so the sales of the semiconductor business will be completed by September of this year. You know, there is no, let's say, major item that could make us think that the completion will not be done within September. We pushed very strongly, you know, our partner, France Brevets, to monetize the patents, and we are supporting them in this action that showed already some successes in with the Sony and with the Samsung that impacted already in the first half of the year. The restructuring plan and the reduction of operating costs with the, you know, the plan in France and in other countries around the world was already is completed within June on schedule with our goals. We completed this restructuring plan. And also we launched, as we announced, a capital increase that in April was completed successfully with several investors believing in our plans to grow for the future. So if you go to the second slide about the consolidated revenue, you see that for the first half, without the semiconductor, as Richard mentioned before, the revenue was 27.7 million, including the 20 million of Q2 that are inflated by the agreement with Samsung and Sony. We have experienced in the first half of the year good growth in all the business lines that we have, especially as a trend on our application software protection and HCE into the banking, mobile banking and payment markets. Also on the other IP, which is mainly on IoT environment, we saw a good growth compared to the previous quarter and also the previous year. As you see, the revenue figure in Q2 was $7.7 million with a growth on Q1 2016 of 25% and a growth of 28% compared to Q2 2015. So the first half, just with the core activity of software, excluding also the patent, was at $13.8 million in H1, and it was a 28% growth over H1 2015. So we are living in a positive trend, and adjusted operating income for the continuing operation, it was $4.7 million positive compared to a loss of $6.4 million in H1 2015. The EBITDA in the first half has been quite strong at $5.3 million positive compared to $6.2 million losses in the first half of 2015. The net loss, this is for IFRS, from continuing operation was $1 million in H1 compared to $11.2 million of H1 2015. So as I said, the strategy and the execution from the management of the company and all the employees and stakeholders is on the time, you know, as we schedule, there is no anticipation and no delays. And we are getting much stronger liquidity. You know, the cash end of June is $20.4 million, but you can imagine that there will be a growth in the cash because some of the agreements, especially on the patent and on the sale of semiconductor, did not transform into cash into the company. So this is an overall picture from my side. I would like to leave the word now to Richard because he has to explain all the other figures, which is quite complex to explain because we are under transformation, as you see. So, you know, to dig more deeply into the figures, I let Richard to go forward.
Thank you, Medo. So starting with the consolidated revenue. So again, the consolidated revenue is comprised of our software business and of the patent licensing activity, which are the two continuing operations that we'll maintain, compared to the semiconductor business, which is now considered a discontinued activity and for which the revenue is not comprised anymore in the consolidated revenue, and for which the revenue and the expense will be disclosed separately from the continuing operation earnings. Okay, so again, in the second quarter of this year, we generated a consolidated revenue of $20.3 million, showing a strong growth compared both to the first quarter of this year and the second quarter of last year. The revenue of this quarter was boosted by the software activity, up 25% compared to the first quarter of 2016, and we'll comment later on what happened and what's going on, and also by again the licensing agreement with between France Brevet, our patent licensing agent, and Samsung in May of this year. Okay. Just of note, if we had included the revenue from the semiconductor business, the company total revenue would have came up to $32.3 million, in the second quarter of 2016, which is 74% up compared to the first quarter of this year and 50% up compared to the second quarter of 2015, which also implies that the semiconductor business did held up very well in the second quarter of this year. And again, we'll comment on that later on. Moving now to the income statement. Here we will comment mainly on the adjusted financial measures and only for the software and IP business. So the adjusted gross profit increased significantly in the first half of 2016 as a result of the growth in the software revenue, and as a consequence of the NFC patent license agreement entered into by France Brevet with Sony in March and with Samsung in May of this year. Given the kind of licenses our patent agent assigned, we did recognize the full amount of the license upfront in one time, and we had recognized in revenue our share of the licensing program, France Brevet managing patents which belong to them, to Inside Secure, and also to our partner Orange. Okay, the apparent decrease in the gross margin, so gross profit expressed as a percentage of revenue, is only due to the product mix. By that we mean that the contribution from the NFC patent license program is impacted by the licensing agent fee paid to France Brevet. And if you split the software business and the unallocated one patents, we still generate margins, gross margin in excess of 95% in the software business, which means that we do not rely, or we rely only marginally on the software business on third-party technology. And therefore, what we put on the market is really coming from our own R&D. Okay, the increase in operating expense in 2016, again, we did a restatement of 2015 in order to make it comparable with 2016. So the increase in operating expense in 2016 was primarily driven by the reallocation of certain resources, and mainly in R&D, in research and development, from the semiconductor business to the core software and hardware IP license business, and also by an increase in sales and marketing expenses. Adjusted operating income from the continuing operation came to $4.7 million. Positive in the first half of 2016 as a consequence of the increasing revenue, and this has to be compared to a loss of $6.4 million in the first half of last year. Okay, to be noted that for the first half of the year, we didn't benefit from the expected savings from the reduction in workforce under the restructuring plan that we had announced in June, and which is about to be completed. And why it doesn't show in the figure is the reason is that half of the relevant employees did leave the company only at the end of June, and according to plan. So the saving will show in the later part of the year. EBITDA for the continuing operation came up to $5.3 million, which is 19% of the revenue, compared to a loss of $6.2 million a year before. giving you now a few key IFRS-based financial measures. Operating income from the continuing operation was break-even, a slight profit of $20,000 in the first half of this year, compared to a loss of $12.5 million a year ago. Even if we were profitable on an operating income and IFRS basis this half year, we still had to incur two significant items which drove the profit down. Further recognition of a non-recurring charge arising from the restructuring for $2.4 million. And again, this $2.4 million amount is the part which is allocated to the continuing business of the restructuring plan, knowing that most of the restructuring did impact the semiconductor business restructuring that we completed prior to the sale to WISeKey. Also, we still have to face a significant amount of amortization of intangible assets which arised upon the acquisition we made in the recent year. So again, it's a non-cash item, but it's still impacting the income statement, and the amount came up to $1.9 million, showing a strong decrease compared to the year before, because the amortization of acquired assets from ESS, the business we acquired in 2012, are now almost completed. Okay. Consolidated net income from operation came up to a slight loss of $1 million compared to a significant loss of $11 million a year before. And consolidated net income showed a loss of $0.7 million in the first half of this year. Moving now to the business division. And again, until the sale of the semiconductor business is completed, the company remains organized in two operating divisions, which more and more are independent, but for which we still continue to track the financial performance on a segment basis as we had done in the past. So the figures we are going to comment today can be compared to the previous reporting period that were disclosed to the market in the past. So starting with mobile security, which again is a software business, and the hardware intellectual property component licensing business. So revenue for the second quarter amounted to $7.7 million, which is up by 25% compared to the first quarter of 2016, and up 28% year on year. So very good activity, and in particular, we benefited from a strong performance of the hardware intellectual property licensing. If you recall, the targeted customer here are mainly semiconductor companies around the world, and we enjoyed in Q2 a strong level of royalties. Okay, and also we saw this quarter a significant growth in revenue coming from banks on licensing software for protecting mobile applications, and also the mobile payment coined HC scheme, which started to generate significant revenue. And in particular, in June, we entered into an agreement with a large European bank that unfortunately we cannot name, but that with whom we are very happy to work with. Okay? The division reported an adjusted loss of $1.1 million compared to being break-even a year before, and the reason here is that we have increased our operating expenses for this division, as I said before, as a result of reallocating resources and mainly R&D. Okay, moving to the secure transaction division, so which is the semiconductor business of Inside Secure. So we enjoyed in this quarter, or in the first half of this year, a growth of revenue of 12%, which is partly made of an increase in volumes, including on the EMV chips, and also from manufacturing license that we signed to a long-standing customer, and to which we transferred three products which were designed specifically for them. Okay, the gross margin did increase also significantly on the back of the product mix and the revenue increase, and given that we started to benefit from a reduction in operating expense, we were able to generate on a segment reporting basis a slight loss of $72,000, meaning that we are also break-even on this activity. Okay, next point will be the cash. The cash position of the company, since this is something which is quite important for all of us to understand in our situation. So the cash at the end of June stood at $24.4 million compared to $16.4 million at the beginning of the year, so up $4 million. So it does include $5.4 million coming from the rights issue, the capital increase we completed in April of this year. Also close to $1 million generated by the operations before the change in working capital. The change in working capital, which does include also the cash outflow, the payment we made in relation with the restructuring, did use $2 million. So we are quite satisfied with this cash position at the end of the first half of this year, knowing that the cash coming from Samsung, which is not comprised in this amount, since the customer will pay us in July of this year and in two other installments. And again, the sale of the semiconductor business to WISeKey being not completed yet, it does not include the proceeds from the sale of the business, which will come later on in this quarter. So we do expect an increase in the cash position over the rest of the year and until the end of 2016. Okay, so I will now turn to Amedeo, who will give us an outlook for the rest of the of this year and some conclusion comments.
Yes, you know that I don't like to give a guidance in general. Even when I was the CEO of Ingenico, I didn't like too much to give guidance because of all the variables that can happen. We are in the transformation. The company is reacting very well, even though it was a deeper transformation to build a new culture of a company that, you know, that since InsightSecure was founded, was a company based on semiconductor. And the transformation is very deep because it's new methods, new processes, new way of implementing the authorization, the fact that people can decide. We are covering all over the world, you know, after leaving, you know, separating from the semiconductor, the company will be made of only 170 people approximately, covering all over the world a different business unit. So the company has to become much more dynamic, much more present at the customer desk, and all the flows, how we communicate, how we act, are changing as we speak. And you know, we are giving this new culture of InsightSecure that I hope to complete within the end of the year. We see a good attraction into the market because the security market is growing more and more because of this democratization of the communication. As you know, also into the IoT, you know, everyone is talking about IoT. You have seen even the capital movements with SoftBank buying ARM and things like this the past weeks. There is a lot of traction on companies to build a solution in the IoT and to the mobile environment. And this doesn't mean only payment. It's, in general, the industry needs to protect their application, their software, their data, and their keys into their devices. And IoT is a nice development where all the devices will be connected to the internet, but we need to secure them, secure the communications between the devices, the hub and the cloud, and we need to secure the microprocessors and secure application and software, as I said, and these are all key expertise of InsightSecure. You know, we are developing more and more partnership in order to be present all over the world with all the clients, and we are building a strong pipeline, especially with the bank in the bank sector that want to position themselves on mobile banking and mobile payment. So let's say that I consider now InsightSecure well positioned to take benefit of the security, embedded security software market. So our aim is to generate a profitable growth, even though, you know, there are many investments to do, but top line growth is very important, and to keep our profitability under control while we do big investment for the future. As I said, the market is much bigger than what we are, and therefore we have a big opportunity for growth. This is, let's say, what I can share with you at this moment, but we are open to receive any question that you may arise.
Thank you, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. So we have our first question coming from the line of Stéphane Houri from Natixis. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. So I have a few questions, if I may. The first one being, can you confirm when the profile will be stabilized, what will be the gross margin, the normalized gross margin of the group, and the OPEX normalized level? The reason why I ask this question is because I've made a quick calculation this morning, and it looks like you should reach above 40 million, 44 million exactly, in terms of yearly revenue to get to double-digit profit margin. Is that assumption right? And if yes, how do you intend to grow to about $44 million dollars of revenues, starting from around 30 this year, excluding the licensing agreement with Samsung and Sony? And I have other questions after.
Mm-hmm. So I will start with the figures, and I will let Medo comment on the growth path. So normalized gross margin, once indeed we have completed the sale of the semiconductor business, is about 95%, excluding NFC patent licensing deals, right? So those nice but non-recurring items. So again, it's really the profile of a software company, and the cost of sales is partly inbound licenses, inbound royalties we pay to a few partners, but quite limited, and also a few cost of services, because we are providing some customization work to our customers, so we incur in cost of sales also the internal work that we capture, the internal work that we complete. So 95% is the first figure. Second part, which is the operating expense. Actually, when you look at the income statement for continuing operations for the first half of the year, which show an operating expense of $18.4 million, that's a good basis to assess what should be the operating expense for the second part of the year. And hopefully it could be even driven a bit down, given the impact of some restructuring which will show in the second part of the year, and subject to any hiring that we may do in order to increase the sales force.
So around 33 million for the full year, right?
46, exactly. That's in order to build your model, that's not a bad assumption. You got it right, and then indeed, based on that, you've got what it takes to compute what should be the target revenue in order to reach a certain level of operating profit. So I didn't see anything wrong in your figures, Stéphane. So Amedeo, how do we get to those kind of revenue? Maybe you want to comment on
and
on
if the it's course, the target of growth.
Pardon, what did you say, Stefan?
And because I was making the assumption that you are targeting a double-digit profit margin, but I didn't. I don't know if it's your target, by the way.
The target, you know, Stefan, everything is linked to time. The target means when. I think that overall market revenue top line growth for our business. It should be reasonable to consider a business that will grow with a 25% top line growth in the next years to come. This is a reasonable growth compared to the opportunities that we see. We could, though, increase more, but it will be required more investment, let's say. And this is a strategic discussion that we have to do. But if you want to have a normalized figure, you can imagine that the company can grow at that rate. Of course, my ambition is to grow much faster because we need to position ourselves in strategic area of the market, you know, in the IoT or in the mobile space. And our ambition is to grow more than that. But, you know, if you want to make your, scheme of normalized growth, that could be. And therefore, you can understand when we start to be profitable.
Right. So around taking 25% growth starting next year, right?
Yes, but even this year we will do that growth. Now, you know, we are putting a lot of resources on mobile, you know, on the software part that were before were shared with the semiconductor guys because we want to have a company that is strong enough to fight the challenge. So compared to last year, the resources already allocated to software are higher this year. You know, that is the curve that you can imagine.
All right. So the follow up would be on the cash level. So just to understand the dynamic of the cash since the last publication, because there is an increase but less than the capital increase amount. So I'd like to understand if you are burning cash on an operating level or if it's just the restructuring. And also understanding that the cash level at the end of June does not include either Samsung payment or the proceeds of the disposal of the semiconductor business. Is it fair to make the assumption that you'll be at around $40 million of net cash at the end of the year? So that's the first follow-up. And the second follow-up is a bit more business. I'd like to understand what you're selling to the large European bank that you're talking about, and if we can have a view of on the amount. Thank you.
Okay. So maybe I will comment on the cash and let Amedeo comment on the customer side. So yes, indeed. So if you add back the capital increase, net cash, well, cash decreased by $1 million in the first half of this year. So we didn't burn cash from an operating basis. So that's one point. Okay, operation didn't use any cash before the change in the working capital. So the on the contrary, it generated a few hundred thousand dollars, as I said earlier. So indeed, the decrease of cash is to be explained by the payment of the restructuring expense.
And you can give the amount of the restructuring.
And the amount, I think we did give it in the press release. So we did use $3.4 million of cash payout in the first half of the year to fund the restructuring plan. There is still a few amounts to be paid in the later part of this year in relation to accompanying people who left in France, for instance, and a few people for whom we deferred their leaving until completion of handover projects. Okay.
Okay.
So now for the future. So you target $40 million. This $40 million would, to me, it would assume that we have completely divested from our the payment of WISeKey into convertible bonds, which might not be possible. So if I rewind and explain differently, so we start with a cash position of $20 million. It does not include any amount from Samsung because the payment is deferred to July, beginning of August, for 60% of the license. So that would be an increment indeed to our cash position. We can also start with the assumption that operations should not burn cash in H2. Okay, and then in complement to that, we would have the proceeds from the sale of semiconductor business, so $2 million upfront to be paid at closing by WISeKey, plus any amount that will be able during the remaining period of the year, period of 2016, of bonds to be converted and sold on the market of WISeKey shares. Given that we have a 2-month lockup, it means that it would leave us with a month of December to sell some shares. So that's why I don't think we will be able to divest completely from our investment in investment in WISeKey. So the amount that you're talking about is theoretical one, but even if we don't reach that and we reach rather $28 or $30 million, nevertheless we would still be able to collect more cash due to the sale of the remaining bonds of WISeKey, and also collect the deferred payment from Samsung, which is going to pay in 3 installments. Mm-hmm. Again, most of which will be paid in 2016.
Okay. For the banks, we have a very strong pipeline with the banks, even though not all is transformed now already in revenue. Because we are working on solutions. The banks, the big banks, are interested in building their own payment application, not to use Apple Pay or Samsung Pay or Google Pay. They want to have their own bank pay. And also we have seen that they are asking us to secure several applications, not only payment, but also banking application of many kind, to allow citizens to do a bank transfer, to check their accounts. The bank application on mobile phone has been in the past years very, not really protected from hackers. And now the banks and Visa and MasterCard are all working together to increase the security and the protection of application data and codes on the phone. So we are working on securing that. I don't want to give you a specific names or because I am not allowed or figures, but I can tell you that this banking application protection in the first half of this year, it grew more than 70% compared to last year, just at this part. So the trend, the figures are still quite small, to be frank with you, but the trend is very interesting. The trend is accelerating and, it gives us a lot of optimism.
Okay, thank you very much. That's it for me.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. We have no further question. If I may remind all participants that if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad.
Okay. If there are no further questions, we can finish the call here.
Having said
that, Richard and myself are always available for a one-to-one chat if somebody wants to call us to ask other questions. Okay?
There is actually another question. Coming from the line of Jean Delcaire from HMG Finance. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, sirs. I'm Geoff Delca from HMG Finance in Paris. Two questions. The first one is on the plan to sell the semiconductor business. Can you tell me if there, if there is any risk linked to this plan, or what are the still the remaining risk to this transaction? This is my first question, and the second one is more for the future. Do you plan any external growth? I mean, well, acquisitions to bolster your products, your technologies, and any word on external growth, please. Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. You know, in life, you are never sure of anything for the future. You know, nobody knows the future, but the risks that this transaction on selling the semiconductor today, we can say that is very low, that we don't do it. In the sense, there are for completion some activity in this moment going on. You know, in a reasonable way, I can tell you that I don't see any risk that this will not happen. But you know, things happen only when they happen. So, but I think I have a very high confidence that this will go through. And the second question is quite is interesting because we are. Rich on knowledge and security and some software bricks and also with the hardware IP in IP for semiconductor. But we are considering since our cash situation, our economical situation is now much improved, you know, to look around also for opportunities for us to buy some companies that could complement our our products and to build more a solution and service type of offer. So we are investing both on a product roadmap to develop internally, but also looking at opportunities for acquisitions. But you know, to be fair with you, I do not have started any negotiation with anybody. We are just in the phase of saying, okay, the company now. We consider that the transformation is practically completed, and let's look around to see how we can improve some synergies acquiring other companies. And we are looking at that in the area of content protection and application protection.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Delcaire. We have no further question.
Okay.
Okay, so we can conclude the call.
We can close the call. Thank you to all for participating to this call. And next appointment will be in 6 months, I guess, on this call.
So for an analyst call, we'll do indeed in February of 2017 the full year earning call, and we will release our Q3 figures on October 20th.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. Bye.
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 Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect.